I want to talk today about spiritual gifts, and we're doing the spiritual gift survey after church. We've done this before, and it's going to tie in with what we're going to be doing up at Synergy this year. And so we want to do it now, get prepared for it, get ready for it, so we don't have to go through this part of it up there, but also talk a little bit about spiritual gifts and what that means. And what I'm going to talk about today is based on 2 Timothy 1:6, just one verse. And this is the last letter that Paul wrote to anybody before he was executed. He was in prison, and he took the time to write to a young man named Timothy, who, when you read the scriptures, he refers to as my son in this faith. And so he just considers Timothy to be just as dear and loving as a son of his own that he never had. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So what he's saying is, when I was with you, I laid my hands on you and put in you a gift from God. Those are called spiritual gifts. And so, and he says, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You're a very stout young man. You're very, you know, sincere. You're a very sincere young man in your faith. And you have a lot of faith. And you got it from your grandma and your mom, Lois and Eunice. And so he says, I'm proud of you. But I want more for you. I don't want you just to have a sincere faith. I want you to have a powerful faith that works in the kingdom of God and moves the purposes of God in the church forward. And so he says, I want you to do that. And in order to do that, though, you got to take the spark of faith that's inside of you, that spark of a gift, and you've got to fan it. You've got to put fuel on it until it becomes a roaring fire, a powerful fire that works in people's lives and in the lives of people around you. And it's your responsibility to fan it. And I say that to all of you too. The spiritual gift that God gave you when you became a believer, sometimes they are roaring fires, other times they go down to just little sparks because we're not using them. They don't go out, but they get real dim. And it's our responsibility to fan those into flames again. How many of you have ever been camping and build a campfire? Okay? And the fire goes down, and you, what do? What you're doing to your face? Fan it. Okay? Get a little air moving by it. Stimulate that spark. Get it going. And in order to do anything useful with it, you have to make it bigger so you can cook with it and so on. But he says it's your job. It's your responsibility to do that. It's not my job. It's not your mother's job. It's your job. You're the only one that can fan it. And so you've got to pick up that fan and get it moving and create, turn it into a fire again from that spark. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I don't even know what a spiritual gift is. Well, it's a supernatural gift that the Father in heaven gives you through the Holy Spirit when you become a follower of Christ. Okay? And so, but some of you almost always say, well, I don't understand what the sparks are, you know, the embers. Well, back in those days, they would have understood that completely because they cooked over fires, all that kind of stuff. But a fire wasn't easy to build back then. They didn't have Bic lighters or matches or a little bit of gasoline to put on there. It was difficult to light a fire. So it was easier to keep the fire going than it was to try and start it every time you needed to cook something or do something along that line. And so they knew very well, and they had a special pit that was built outside of the house where they kept these embers going. And so when it came time to cook, they'd add some fuel, fan it, get it going, and then they'd be able to do something with it, okay? And so I want us to all be on the same page. And I know some of you have heard this before several times, but review is always good. Okay, especially when we put it in writing to a test. Tests are always fun. Okay, so there's some few questions that we might want to ask. And we're going to use, like I said, we're going to use this information, again, at Synergy, to help you in what we're teaching up there and walking in the authority. So the first thing that some of you might be asking is, what is a spiritual gift? Well, I mentioned before, it's a supernatural, super spirit-filled gift or ability that God gives you. It gives you the ability to do things you wouldn't normally be able to do for the kingdom of God. And the sad part is, the newer you are as a believer, the more powerful it usually is. We get old, we get tired, we sit back and relax. Now, when we went to Taiwan, that's been a long time ago now, one of the things that we really noticed about those people in Taiwan who didn't grow up Christians, who were new believers, was their faith and how they just took it and they ran with it. It says, do it. They did it. Because they didn't know, or they hadn't been convinced that they couldn't. And so they did that. And so the first thing is, we have these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us when we become believers. Now, you can't develop them on your own. They're a gift. You can't trade somebody for theirs. You know, it's not one of those things that, hey, will you trade me your gift for mine? You know, it doesn't work that way. And they're designed for the good of the benefit of all people and for the community and for the world. There are people that are affected by spiritual gifts that they move the world. I mean, Christine, I can't remember her last name, but she was part of the taking care of the refugees, the massive amount of refugees that there are, and getting involved in that, you know, and she's involved in that. And she tells you how it's through the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have natural talents and abilities that we can develop and so on and so forth, but this is above that, above those natural things. And she'll tell you that it's a divine talent. I mean, it's a divine gift, and God's worked in their ways. In those situations, they had set up a camp, like a refugee camp, 7.5 years before this took place. And it was, you know, set up in this one place. Well, all the refugees started coming in, and the government decided it was too much, and they wouldn't let people come in and help unless they had been in the area 7 years. And they'd been there 7.5, waiting, preparing for what was going to take place. So it's a supernatural thing. And so God gives it to you so you can be good at doing something that's going to help move the kingdom of God and the church along the way. So then the second question would be, who receives spiritual gifts? Now, anybody here not receive a spiritual gift? Yeah, we all do. If you're a follower of Christ, you receive automatically at least one spiritual gift. At least one. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spirit is given to each one of us so we can help each other. A spirit is given to each one of us. At least one, probably more. Now, those of us who have taken a spiritual gift survey before know that there's usually about 3 high ones that are higher than the rest, and then a couple, 3 more that are kind of so-so, and the rest go down from there. And that's pretty common. So if you're a Christ follower, you get at least one spiritual gift. There's no exceptions. And who assigns those gifts? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Like I said, you can't ask for them. You know, you don't deserve them. And so the Holy Spirit decides who gets them. Who gets the spiritual gifts, and in what order do you get them? And there's a reason for that. The Holy Spirit is smart. Amen. We're not. Like Gary said, we would ask for the wrong things. The Holy Spirit knows your past. The Holy Spirit knows the pains you've gone through. The Holy Spirit knows your potential. The Holy Spirit knows your story and your future. And because the Holy Spirit knows all that and he's smart, he can give you just the right spiritual gifts in the order that you need them. So they come together at perfect order just when you need them, the time. The fourth one, how many spiritual gifts are there? 20. In the New Testament, there's a list of 20 spiritual gifts. Now, most scholars believe that this is not an exhaustive list, that this isn't the end of it, that that's only 20, because what they believe is that as history progressed along, cultures changed, different things came into being, and the Holy Spirit gave spiritual gifts tied in those areas as they go. One of the spiritual gifts is leadership. Leadership, that's all around. And so there are people that do that. But supernatural leadership is different. It's guided by the Spirit in the spiritual things that need to be done. And so they're put in that order. And so there are people like that, that get blessed with more knowledge in certain areas. Like, I think there's a spiritual gift of computers. I don't have it. Scott will ask me stuff, and I say, you're talking to the wrong person. Now, don't ask me about computers because I don't know. I don't know about them. So the big question is, how do I determine what spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given me? How do I find out what that is? Well, first, read about it. Read everything you can about it. If you want to read some books, come back in my office. I have 400 and something books back there. Some of them are on the Holy Spirit, and you can read on it. If you don't want to do that, go online. Google Holy Spirit. I did that. You want to take a guess at how many hits there were? How many, what are they? They don't call them hits. They call them posts. Take a guess, somebody. Gary's going, I don't want to. Okay. 8.86 million. So just, you know, get your laptop tonight, sit down, pick a few hundred thousand, go through them and see how, you know, how you do, okay? Because there's a lot of things in there. And a lot of them are really good. Another thing we do is that periodically we offer a class 301 about your ministry and about your calling. And in that particular class, we have the spiritual gifts test we're going to do today. So you can take that class, or back in the on the table back there, there's a pile of tests, and Richard's already took this one that I sit here for my display. Okay, it's just a little thing like this, 125 questions. You put it on the answer sheet, and there's a temperament survey on there. You put it on the answer sheet and just turn it into me, and then when we add up all the numbers, we'll see what it comes up with. But what this does, this gives you an idea of what you may have as a spiritual gift. But you play a big part in it because you have to analyze and you have to look at what your answer is very closely, because some of the things that are on here we do in the secular world. And other things on here we haven't had any exposure to. You may come across the thing of speaking in tongues. You've never had an exposure to speaking in tongues. So are you going to get a very high score? No. There's another one that's in here is celibacy. Now, most of us get a very high score in that.
Not.
Is there anybody here who scores high in celibacy? I've only met one person. No, want to be celibate. Jay's going, me, I'm celibate. It's like, no, you want to be. I've only met one person in that category. So we have to look at that, and you have to say, okay, never, 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 never. I could never score high in that because I've been Scott and I have been together for 18 years. So it's not going to work. I'll get a zero, okay? But in other areas, I'll get higher. But you have to look at it and say, okay, I read this sentence, and this sentence says this. And you know what? That sometimes happens in my life, but it's not exceptional. When it does happen, it's exceptional. But other times it happens. You can be a leader and not have it be a spiritual gift. It can just be that you're in a leadership position. Or maybe you've never taught a Sunday school class. You've never taught anything. And so you're going to get a low score in that because you don't have any experience in it. Or you've taught a class and you hated it. It's like me teaching a bunch of little kids. I would not be good at it. That's why I don't have any. I don't even have pets. I have stuffed animals. So you'd find out. So you have to be very honest in what you, in looking at this and say, okay, I have high and low and so on and so forth. So you have to be very honest in your answer. The second one on here is your temperament survey. And again, it's four words in a row across. You have to pick out which one best describes you of the four. They may all describe you, But which one is the best description of you? Put those and turn them in two. Then give them to me at the end of the thing, at the end of the class, and we'll go over those and make it part of synergy. And so it's a good way. But then the other one is, once you have added all that up, then the other thing you do is you sit down with some friends who know you really well, and you say, hey, it seems like I've got the gift of teaching. What do you think? And do they go along with it? In other words, when I teach, does it make sense? They will confirm or affirm what your spirit that you do. Yeah, you really do excel in that. But the other part of that is, a lot of it is just hit and miss. What? Hit and miss? And the best description I saw, or illustration I saw, was this. Any guess what that is? My great artwork. A swimming pool. Here's the diving board. You're on here, you think you figured out what your spiritual gift is. And you look at the pool, and this pool isn't full of water. It's filled with opportunities to use your spiritual gift. Full of them. Life is full of opportunities to use your spiritual gifts. So what you do is you dive out here into a spot that looks like it's a good match for your gifts. And you're out there and you're participating in it, being part of it. But you get out there and you're out there a while and it doesn't feel quite right. Something's a little off. Now, the problem is a lot of people then get out of the pool to a recliner, a poolside thing, and that's where they sit for the rest of their life. Amen. Don't ever do that. That's not an option. Don't ever get out of the pool, okay? You look around and you see another something else, an opportunity. And so you move over there. And that one maybe doesn't feel right after a while. And so you move to another place. And maybe another one. And this expert that I was listening to says it sometimes takes 5 or 6 different attempts to find exactly the right spot. But when you find it, when you find that spot that ties in with your spiritual gifts, it's sweet. And it's good. And you're comfortable there. And your friends will confirm that, yes, this is where you fit in. This is where your spiritual gifts are. People will understand it, okay, and they'll know.
What about those that have more than one spiritual gift and you're only meant to be in one place for a certain measure of time?
So that can be too. To yep, well. That can be too. And a lot of times, though, if you're here, the other gifts you have are pretty close by. You know, as you don't usually have a gift here and then one clear over here. Your arms just won't reach that long. Okay? There usually is a connection between what they are doing. Yeah. And, you know, and maybe you're in this spot right here because you're needed at the time. There's nobody else. I need a Sunday school teacher for the little kids, and there's nobody else to do it. And so Penny steps in and does it. Somebody else does it. And one of the cool things that I found out that as we're planning for synergy, Penny got together with the kids and they talked about what do we want to learn at synergy. They picked out what their agenda is for synergy this year, starting with the beginning of the Bible and working their way down to Christ, the different prophets and so on that led and took place. And so you find that sweet spot and it just fits and feels good in what you're doing. And some of the people that have found their sweet spot, one was a lady in South Africa. Her father was very rich. He established a vineyard, became very wealthy. He died, left it to his kids. Of course, she's one of them. And she became a Christ follower. And after that, she found out that her spiritual gift was hospitality. Now, how many of you know what hospitality is? Okay, have you got hospitality? Hospitality is one of those gifts where you arrange things for people to meet and to share and to be together and to work together. And so she determined that her spiritual gift was hospitality. So she took some of the money from the vineyard and she built housing. She built a chapel. She built a meeting place. And then she brings people in from all over Africa, pays the expense, puts them up there so they can talk to each other, so they can get together, so they can work together and do the things that they need to do with this money from the vineyard. So she has that gift of hospitality. One of the other ones is a guy who was a farmer, very successful farmer, became a Christian, found out his leadership, his spiritual gifts were leadership and teaching. So he started teaching a Bible study. And he was amazed at how when people listened to him, when he spoke. And one day the Holy Spirit told him he needed to have somebody else run his farm. And he was to start a church. And he thought, you're crazy. I don't have any, you know, I have a business, I run a business and I have an agriculture degree. I don't have anything along ministry lines. And the Holy Spirit said, it doesn't matter. So he did. And now down in his church, the church that he has is a mega church, that one of the big, you know, mega churches that has hundreds and hundreds of volunteers and stuff like that. Another one is a kid who's just in college, learning. And part of what he's learning is to take him on this because he has a gift of helps. So what he wants to do when he graduates from college is get in a thing where he can take and fly. He's also learning to fly a plane. And he can fly into the back areas of Africa where the roads stop and drop off medications and foods to the people back in those areas. And he knows it's going to take years, but that's what he's found that he's going to do. So that brings us to the $64,000 question. If the Holy Spirit graces you with this gift and it puts you in a spot where you can work and it brings just incredible joy to you, why is it that for the most part so many Christian believers, followers of Christ, never find out what their spiritual gifts are? And if they do, they never bother to use them. 20 studies they've done show that the mega churches, the big ones that are there, in those churches, 25% of the people have taken the time to find out what their spiritual gifts are and fanned them into the flame, jumped in the pool, stayed in the pool, found out their sweet spot, where they are, and they've changed their lives and the lives of the people around them. 25%. Yeah. There's probably 35 in here. So 1/4 of this room have found your spiritual gifts. No more than that of you have discovered what they are because we've done the classes. Have fanned them into flame. Put them jumped in the pool, found where they belong. And they're there and other people have confirmed it. Less than 25%. And, you know, it's kind of sad. Because how would you feel if you reach the end of your life, get down towards the end of your life, and you remember that you had bought a lottery ticket years and years and years ago. It was in your wallet, but you just never bothered to take the time to look up the numbers to see if you were a winner. And now you discover that you were, but it's too late. It's too late. And so one of the things we need to realize is that these spiritual gifts that God gives us, they're of more worth than that $1 million lottery ticket. I mean, that can satisfy you for a while, but really, reality is, if we had that much money, we'd probably blow it. And studies show that people who win a lot of money like that pretty much blow it in the lives around them. But these spiritual gifts that God gives us not only affect you, but they affect people around you. So what do? You do what Timothy suggested. Find out what your spiritual gifts are. Yeah, take the survey. But you know what? A lot of times that survey changes because of as you grow spiritually and do it. But fan it into flame. See if it comes alive and go that way. You know, but we have excuses. Sometimes it's just, we're just too lazy to look it up. The other one is we say we're too busy. Really? Too busy? Are you too busy to eat? Too busy to sleep? Too busy to take a shower? Too busy to check your Facebook 5 or 6 times a day? Or your Twitter? We're too busy. I don't think so. You know, the reality is most of us will make time for what we find important in our lives. We will find that we do. And so what, if you say you're too busy, what you're saying is you don't find any value in the spiritual gifts. And so you don't think God has made, you don't think God has given you gifts or whatever. And, you know, the other one, that's the other one. I don't think God has given me any gifts. You know, I think God skipped over me and gave my gift to somebody else. And even if God gave me a gift, he wouldn't use me because I'm a loser. No, that doesn't work that way. God is there. God gives you the gifts. So you do that. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, remember what it said? To each one, a spiritual gift has been given. What part of each one don't we understand? What part of each one don't we understand? There is a God in heaven, and he's got a plan for your life. And, you know, we should do it. And you know what? Yeah, God's not happy with us if we don't use it. And in Matthew 25, God, Jesus tells a parable about a man who goes away on a trip. He takes his treasures. He gives it to different people to use and utilize while he's gone. He comes back, and when he gets back, he gets to the last one on the list. And what does the guy say? I was afraid, so I hid it. I buried it. It was buried in my tent. I've dug it up. Here it is. It's not been touched, not been used. You get to have it back. And in Matthew 25:26 says, the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. So Jesus tells a parable against us that we should do that. And imagine yourself standing before God one day and God says, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? Well, what did that servant do? Nothing. I hope we can all say, at least say, well, at least I found out what they were, even though I didn't fan them into flames and into use. But my dream is that, you know, all of us here will do that. We'll find out what our spiritual gifts are. We'll go downstairs after church, spend some time having cake and ice cream and hot dogs and chips, socializing for a bit, and going through the 125 questions and just thinking about them and going through it. Now, if you need more time, take it home. Bring it back next week. No, you're not going to be here next week, so get it done now. No. So, you know, go through it. And even if you've done it before, go through it again because, like I say, sometimes it changes because your experiences with the Holy Spirit and your experiences with others and that change. And you do different things. You go on mission trips. You've been on 3 of them. How's her response about missionary work going to change from before she ever went on a mission trip? Quite a bit. And each one of those mission trips was very different. Taiwan's very different from Australia, which is different from Mexico. And so do it. Find out what God's given you and what you're walking in, what you've let fall asleep, and what you thought was a spiritual gift isn't. It's something else because it's changed. And you know what? The other part is it might be exactly the same, and that's okay. But we use that to guide us and help us along the way. And it's important that we know what that is because if we don't know what they are, you can't use them. And if you do know what they are, you're supposed to use them. You're supposed to find a place where you fit, where it's a part of your life, where you are comfortable and you feel God's blessings on you and when you operate in that spirit. And be honest about it. Is it something you just want? Because I know there are spiritual gifts that are more visible than others, but they're not there so that we can go, wow, look at me. Right. They're there because God wants you to advance the kingdom and help other people around you. Help other people around you. And you don't know how God's going to use you. You just don't know. And again, it reminds me of when we went to Taiwan, okay? The 4 of us went, Bevan and I and Kay and Karina, and we were in Taiwan, and we were handing out tracts, you know, in this place. And we got home, and Gary was talking to Janet, the head of the mission team, and she was telling him that some new people had walked into church. And she said, well, how did you find out about the church? And they said, well, you had these Caucasians here a couple of years ago. You had these Caucasians. It's not like we didn't stand out over there.
Amen.
If you've ever been to Taiwan, the average height is here. No, they're much darker than we are. I mean, I look tall. You know, I look tall. They said, you had these Caucasians here, and they gave us this. And it was a handmade tract that they had from 2 years ago. 2 years later, they came to church. And that's what happens in those in that country. You go to Australia, it's a whole other story. Difficult? Oh my gosh, it's difficult and hard. But God has a purpose and a plan. So if you don't think you have a spiritual gift, either you're not a Christ follower or you're just kidding yourself. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you that you are present in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we've turned our lives over to you. We recognize you as you are a Savior, that you have set us free. Free to enjoy this life that you give us. Free to worship you. Free to rejoice. Free to love each other. Lord, I thank you for your guidance, your direction. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us these gifts in the right order that we need them. And Lord, that if we will find out what our gifts are and fan that flame, get it burning, get it into a roaring fire, jump in the pool and stay there till we find out that sweet spot, that life, Lord, our lives will be very different than they are now. So help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.